Pastors today are dealing with things that really, because of the advent of mass media, have not been actually, previous generations have not had to deal with.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so sometimes pastors need to have the idea, at least, have an idea at least what the sheep are hearing.
Right.
Amen. From other sources. Because through mass media, they have access to many other voices.
Yeah.
Amen. And so what sometimes we wonder why people are acting the way they're acting or getting off the way they're getting off or experiencing what they're experiencing. Many times it's just simply because, they're listening to other voices that put them under other influences. It shouldn't be that way, but I'm not saying people shouldn't listen to other ministers. That's not what I mean. But they're listening to things that are not sound. I mean, you need to listen to sound things. Amen. And so oftentimes they whack out and become unsound because they're listening to other voices. You don't get unsoundness at Spirit of Faith Family Church.
Amen.
So in recent days, my spirit's been alerted and stirred to some of the things that are going on in the larger body of Christ. Not everywhere, of course. That's not right either. People get the idea, everybody's wrong but us. Well, you're wrong. Amen. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just simply saying from several different quarters in the body of Christ, there's coming influences that I guess I've been alerted to and been made aware of in more recent days. And so I'm stirred and really, really prompted that we need to address some things because of what possibly some are listening to, and just simply bring it out into the open, not to criticize people, but just to address doctrines.
Yes.
Amen. And so we're gonna do this right. Amen. And so these voices, the Bible says, pastors are called to watch for the sheep's soul. Amen. And these voices make people unstable in their thinking and in their minds. And really, we need to remind people of certain things from time to time in order to keep them sound. You know, like that verse we read in the offering. And so some of these things are getting a little bit close to home. Amen. Some of these things are getting a little bit close to home. People and ministers that I once pretty much trusted exclusively, I don't even know if I can go to any of their meetings anymore. People that we have been associated with have gotten into some really strange doctrine. I'll bring up some doctrines that are, you'll look at me funny whenever you hear it. People that have preached in this church, one particular, that is into really, really strange doctrines today. We would never have him back under that influence. That doesn't mean that we, you know, ostracize them and say, you're not a part of the body of Christ. They're a part of the body of Christ. There's different levels of doctrinal error. Sometimes people just are thinking is wrong. How many have ever, anybody in here, your thinking has ever been wrong, but your heart was right, you know? And so, you know, you deal with that differently than, and we'll show you some examples of that, but you deal with that differently than just out and out heresy.
Right.
I mean, when you got a minister preaching what he's preaching and saying, but Jesus made a mistake right there. Read a verse and says Jesus made a mistake right there. Now, that's heresy. Amen. And I don't know how many of you listen to that, but you just need to know that that's heresy. And you can't be listening to heresy and build your faith. If Jesus made a mistake, then he sinned. If he sinned, his blood's not holy. If his blood's not holy, then you're not saved. So that's heresy. So we gotta just talk about it. We don't talk about this all the time, but we do want to look at some things. Notice in you in Matthew 24, look at verses 3-5. As he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Jesus privately, saying, "Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And he goes on and on. And I just wanted to point out the very first thing he said there. The very first thing he said about the end days, the very first thing he brought up about the end days is deception. You understand? And so when it comes to the last days, that's the very first thing Jesus mentioned to the believer. In fact, let me just rephrase it. It's not just the first thing he mentioned. It's the first warning he gave. This is a warning. And he's saying in the last days there'll be much deception. And so of all the things he could have said, he pointed out one main thing to watch out for in the last days. Why is that? Because in the last days, deception is the main issue. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of deception. And that's getting stronger and stronger around us. And so we want to look at this a little bit and understand, why would this issue of deception, why would Jesus issue a warning against deception in the last days? Because there's a real and present danger of even Bible-believing Christians swallowing false doctrines, hook, line, and sinker. If you've never gone fishing, you don't know what I'm talking about. There's catching a fish, and then he just swallowed the whole thing. And you can't put him back. You got to rip his insides out to put him back.
Right. Yeah.
You understand what I'm talking about? And so there is a real and present danger. The Bible said, I think it's here in Matthew 24, there's even if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived.
Yeah.
Well, has anyone warned you when you came into church this morning? Has anyone warned you, be very, very careful when you leave the building not to fall off that cliff right out there?
No.
Nobody's warned you about that because there's no cliff out there to fall off into.
Yeah.
It's not possible to fall into a cliff or fall over a cliff.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right?
You warn people about things that are possible to happen.
Yeah.
And you say, well, not me. Well, that's a little bit of pride.
Yeah.
And that's one of the first open doors to deception.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't possibly be wrong. Oh, yeah. We could get wrong ideas. So there's a real present danger here, and no one here is going to be exempt from wrong things coming to you.
Right, right.
But you will be responsible to do the right things whenever those things come.
Yes.
Amen. Notice where Jesus placed the responsibility here in Matthew 24 when it comes to not being deceived. He said, "See that you not be deceived."
Right.
You do that. Isn't that right? He left it up to you and me. You're not to leave it up to me. I'm talking as your pastor or Pastor Debbie. You are not to leave it up to us to not be deceived.
Right.
You are responsible to not let deception in. Your pastor cannot fight every battle for you. Your pastor cannot resist every wrong doctrine. Your pastor cannot turn off every false prophet on YouTube to you. I'm not called to, and I'm not going to. You are responsible to recognize false doctrines, false prophets, and false manifestations.
Amen.
Are you still there? You're going home. Don't leave it up to us. Amen. You need to check your pastor out according to the Word of God. The Bible talks about the Bereans who were more noble, and they searched the scriptures daily to make sure all these things were so. Are you searching the scriptures?
Right.
Are you making sure I'm right?
That's right.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen. You are responsible. Jesus said, you see to it. You people, you my people, see to it that you're not deceived.
Right.
Are you out there?
Yes.
Now, it depends on you, because really, if I could say this, when you have learned to trust somebody, and ministers should have the kind of character and the kind of track record that you can trust.
Right.
Isn't that right? You should. I mean, a minister should do that. If you're called to the ministry here, you should prove yourself as somebody who you can. I mean, if somebody maybe is not sure about what you're preaching, they can go to the Word and find out. Well, yeah, it's right in there in the Word. That should be the way you conduct yourself as a minister, and people should trust you. And in fact, that's one of the main reasons sheep are messed up, is because they go to a place that they really can't trust what they're preaching. Amen. And so a lot of sheep get messed up because they don't have a pastor. They don't have somebody that has their best interest at heart. And to keep them from some of these things that are going around. The Bible says in Ephesians that there are winds of doctrines. Winds of doctrines, and we'll get into that. But you need the protection of a shepherd. A lot of wrong doctrines don't come out of the local church. They come out of some of these other places. And if people had a local church, they'd be safer. Amen. I'm going to preach it whether you stare at me or not. Amen. So they're out there, Christians are out there getting hit with every doctrine and every wrong spirit and every false prophet and every false thing, because they're not sitting under a pastor who feeds them the simple word of God to give them victory in their lives. But if you're not under that, you're getting all sorts of these things. And that's why people are scattered. Remember, the Bible said, without a shepherd, the sheep scatter. Well, you could apply that to their lives in many different ways. But how about they scatter doctrinally? They're unsound doctrinally because they don't have a shepherd. So all that's true, but ultimately, your pastor is not responsible to keep you from being deceived. Now, he's there to help you. The Bible said, Paul said in Acts chapter, 20? I don't remember the verses. We'll get to it in a moment. But he said, after my departure shall grievous wolves come in, not sparing the flock, speaking all sorts of wrong things. That was Paul's influence, kept those things out. Paul's strong authority. Paul dealing with wrong doctrines. Paul mentioning this is wrong, this is not in line with the covenant, and so forth and so on. That kept things out. We need that in our lives. And you need to find a place that's safe. We went to a Bible school where it was so safe. My goodness, it was so safe. But Brother Hagin constantly addressed these things that came up. So the pastor really can't resist every idea that's flying around out there for you. You have to get enough of the Word of God in you to recognize what you're hearing, recognizing whether it's sound enough, whether it's the Word of God or not. And you have the great teacher, the guide, the teacher, the Holy Ghost living right on the inside of you. And he'll let you know when something isn't right. And whenever something just doesn't seem right, don't just keep listening to it to see why it's not right. If something isn't right, click. But you might say, yeah, but I don't know in my mind. It doesn't matter what your mind doesn't understand. If something's not right, you turn it off. Because if the Holy Ghost is saying turn that off, or the Holy Ghost is not bearing witness with it, even if you don't know what it is, it's going to be poison to you to keep listening to it. I can tell you stories right now of false prophets on major Christian networks that when they prophesy, my skin crawls. Let alone my spirit. Yeah. It's a false spirit. It's a lion. It's a false prophet. Right. And nobody's doing anything about it. Yeah. Well, pastor this morning is not responsible to deal with those ministries. I don't speak into their life. They're not under me. But I am here to talk to you about it. Some of you are listening to some of these programs, and it's confusing you, and it's messing your spirit all up. We're here to help you. We're not against anybody. We're here to help you. Amen. You got to get enough of the Word of God in you, and you got to become sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost to recognize falseness. And that's not just all. The pastor can't do all that for you. The Bible says that in these last days, deception will abound. That's the day we're living in. We're in a time, the Bible prophesies, a great falling away in the last days. You said, I thought it prophesied revival. It does. It prophesies both. They will be happening parallel besides one another. Cultural church or whatever, the church in form only, without any power, so forth and so on, will grow worse and worse in deceptions. The true remnant of God will grow in glory and go from glory to glory. You understand what we're talking about? And so some of these things, these false doctrines and stuff, are getting a little too close to home. And so I got stirred to talk about it, if you can handle it this morning. Now, we'll get into some of these doctrines. We'll get into some of what they are. We'll get into some of the, we'll talk about how to test doctrines and try the spirits. The Bible says we're supposed to try the spirits. The Bible said don't believe every spirit. Before we get into that, notice what Jesus said back here in Matthew 24. He said, many shall come. This is in verse number, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. What does that mean, in my name? In other words, they're going to come claiming to be a minister of God. Claiming to speak for God. Everybody that claims to speak for God is not speaking for God.
That's right.
I know it's a little different flow than you're used to, so some of you are wondering, where are we going? But that's all right. Just come on along. You'll be glad in days and years to come that we talked about some of these things. Because these things are going to get worse and worse. And so he said, many shall come in my name. Not everybody who says the name of Jesus is telling you the truth about the Word of God. And so we need to recognize some of these things. Here's some just simple things. We'll get into this a lot more later. But there's some simple things. Three possible sources of doctrine. Number one, the Spirit of truth. Of course, the Holy Ghost, He will guide you into all truth. Right? And number two, the spirit of error. And that's 1 John 4, 1 through 2, down and through there. The Bible says there's a spirit of error. So that's a source of doctrines. We'll get into that in a moment. Then third of all, just the minds of men. Some people just thought they figured it out, and that's their doctrine, but not in line with the Word of God. Amen. How many of you have ever done that yourself, probably? We've probably all done that. We thought we had it figured out and realized later, well, that ain't right. So that doesn't mean our heart was wrong, right? We're all renewing our mind. And so, second of all, I want you to know those are three sources of doctrines. But also know this, there are many false doctrines. There are not only false doctrines in the church. In other words, in the church, people speaking things that are false. But out there in the world, there are things trying to get in the church from the outside in. And some of that has happened. You know, you just talk about evolution and, you know, homosexuals are all born that way and all these things. You know, just people have, maybe we're not so familiar with it because of, you know, where we are. You know, but I'm talking about in the section of the country that's a bit isolated. But right on the other hand, the body of Christ at large has swallowed some of these things. Hook, line, sinker, boat, fisherman, everything. Just gulp the whole thing down. That doesn't make it true. I said, that doesn't make it true. Those are from things from the outside in. The Bible says in 1 John 4, we're going to look at this verse later, but not to believe every spirit, but try the spirits. Now, what does that mean, believe every spirit? Is that talking about a spirit in the spirit realm that speaks to you directly from the spirit realm? Well, of course, that would be that. There are many voices in the world. But you got to look at the... In fact, let's go over to 1 John right now. I think it'd be good. I think it would maybe save us going there later. 1 John chapter number 4, let's look at verse number 1 there. I'm talking about the epistle. 1 John 4, verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. That's you and my responsibility. We're not supposed to just swallow everything that comes. And we'll talk about how to do that. We might not get into it all today about trying the spirits. But because many false prophets are going out into the world. So when he says try the spirits because many false prophets are going out into the world, is he talking about a spirit that speaks to you directly from the spirit realm? Well, you would need to try that voice if it comes to you. But that's not the context here. Because he said try the spirits because there's many false prophets going out into the world. In other words, not just try the voices that come to you directly from the spirit realm, but don't receive anything that somebody says to you. Amen. Everything that somebody says to you, because they may be speaking by another spirit. Amen. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Amen. In other words, there are people. In fact, let's go there now. I'm trying to do it in a certain order. But go over there. Let's go to 1 Timothy, I believe. Let me make sure I got that right. Where are we at here? 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter. We need to do this. We need to talk about this. Things are getting dark. Even in the body of Christ. But look here in 1 Timothy 4:1. He says, now the Spirit speaks expressly. That means clearly, distinctly. I was reading that one time, the Lord said He always does. He always does. If it's fuzzy to you, the confusion's on your end, not His end. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, anybody look around and see we're in the latter times? Some, not all, raise both hands and say, not me. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You read seducing spirits, you might think seduce sexually. Well, I'm sure the devil's involved in some of that. But here, he's not talking about sexually, he's talking about doctrinally. Giving heed to seducing spirits. Notice doctrines. Doctrines means teachings of devils. Oh my God. Do devils teach? Yeah, in churches. Yeah, in churches. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is in your Bible. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Oh my God, speaking lies. People teaching things that are lies. Where'd they get that? Where are they speaking from? A voice they heard, a spirit that spoke to them, giving heed to seducing spirits, speaking. Listening to wrong voices and saying what they hear. That's not uncommon in the body of Christ. It's way too common.
Come on.
It's getting ridiculous out there. I said, it's getting ridiculous out there. What on earth, Pastor, are you talking about? Just don't leave yet. Just hold on. Praise the Lord for the word. So, many shall come in my name. That means they come in the Lord's name. They claim to be representing the Lord. They claim to be speaking for the Lord, but it's a deceiving spirit speaking through them. Amen. I thought Satan... Well, let's back up here. You know as well as I do that the Bible said here in 1 John, we're to try the spirits. Because many false prophets are going out in the world. That means people speaking by wrong spirits. I used to think most of that was in Africa. Somewhere else, Asia. There's a lot of mixture in those countries. Say the word mixture. Of the Holy Ghost and then occult spirits.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
A lot of mixture of that. And to my utter amazement, upon a bit of research, it's in the church. Amen. I said amen. Manifestations of the devil calling it God. Manifestations of the devil calling it God.
Amen.
Manifestations of the devil calling it God.
Yes.
Don't even recognize that the demon powers are involved in it. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for all your enthusiasm. I'm going to preach it. So, the Bible says that we are to try the spirits. See to it that these things don't deceive us. And we're to become skilled in that. Amen. How many of you know if we're living in a time of many false doctrines, many false prophets, many things going on, we better be skilled or we're going to be falling for some of these things. Don't think you and I couldn't. That pride will open the door to deception. The Old Testament prophet one time said, he's talking to a king, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. That's a big open door to deception. That's one reason some of these people get off. They won't listen to anybody else in the body of Christ speaking into their life.
Yeah.
Like one minister went to another minister who's getting off into false doctrine. Mm-hmm. And he was bringing him the word. This happened for two different ministers actually did this that I know of, probably a lot more. But and they brought these things to them and said, now these are wrong. Here's the scriptures. You're getting off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Preaching false doctrines. That's not in line with the word.
Right.
You're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, like
right.
Jude said.
Right.
You know, just live any old way you want. God will forgive you. Well, God will forgive sin, but if you just want to live in sin, that's a different issue right there. So anyway, brought these things to them and said, and here's the word, and they just argued their opinion and so forth and so on. Finally, the minister was in error, leaned back and said, well, whatever you say, I know I'm right. They said, what do you mean? What do you know? Why you know you're right? They said, because whenever I preach this, I hear bells in the realm of the spirit playing. Don't even know it's demon spirits.
Come on.
That's a manifestation of demon spirits.
Yep.
I said, that's a manifestation of demon spirits.
Right. Amen.
What scripture you got for bells ringing?
Come on now.
And this is some of the main ministers in America today. Well, it's quiet in here, isn't it? You're going to have to get skilled in recognizing what's right and what's wrong. It's getting a little close to home. Amen. Praise God. So, don't be just like a little naive bird when his mama comes on the edge of the bird nest and just eyes shut and eye, mouth wide open. Don't just swallow everything that everybody says. I never saw so many false prophets on YouTube in my life. And some of you are listening to some of their programs. Amen. That's why I'm addressing it. Rescue time. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to get my rescue this morning. No, we're not afraid of ever moving with God because we're afraid the devil might get in. Well, he'll try. We know that. We're not afraid of false ministry, false prophets. We're just on guard. And we need to learn to recognize these things. Amen. So it's the believer's responsibility to test doctrines, not just ministers, not the people themselves. You can be wrong, but right-hearted. When we try these things, or the Bible says, let me remember over there, these verses talk about to judge prophecies over in 1 Corinthians 14. Let these other one prophet speak and then let the other judge. Someone said, we're not supposed to judge. Well, maybe not the person, but we judge whether that was right or wrong. We judge whether that was God or not. You can try the Spirit. And you can judge from the Word of God whether that's true doctrine. Amen. So we're to judge those things. And say, the Bible says, don't believe every spirit. So you are to prove and test all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things. That would include doctrine, wouldn't it? Or the Spirit speaking through a person. You know, I was down a few weeks ago. I was down at a coin shop looking for some gold or silver. And when I walked in, I'd gotten to know the man, the owner. When I walked in, his wife's behind the desk there. He's in the back room. And she's there with a bag of, I don't know if you know what constitutional silver is. It's the old days when money was money. You know, made out of silver. The coins are made out of silver. And she had a big bag of that. She had poured out on the table. And she's taking each coin across this thing to test it, make sure it's real silver. Well, if metallurgists or whatever you call them do that and test to see if it's the real deal, you ought to test things to see if they're the real deal. You ought to try it out. Just check it out. If it can't stand up to the scrutiny of the Word and the Spirit, it's not worth anything. Throw it away. It's not worth anything. I didn't see that lady throw any coins in the trash, but I'm sure if it would have come across and just been, you know, what they make money out of it now. What is it, plastic? I'm sure she would have just dropped it in the trash can. Or maybe we went out and bought a Coke with it. You know what I'm talking about. And that's what some of these things that are being preached are worth. Just throw it in the trash can. Well, I'm not going to get through all this. I can tell that for sure. So, we do these things in the natural every day. We test things every day. We check things out. Amen. We examine things and see if it's right. So, I mean, scientists do that. People all over the world do that in different areas, different industries and so forth. We should do that in the area of doctrine and so forth. Praise the Lord. So, how does deception get in? Let me just give you a couple of things. Deception gets in. This is a much bigger subject than we can cover this morning. But one way deception gets in is just through not constantly washing your mind in the water of the Word. I've had certain ideas throughout my time, throughout my life, that I thought, wow, I just think I come upon something new. And I was pretty much all excited about it till I was sharing it with a few friends. Just wanted to see what they thought about it. And they blew so many holes through it with the Word of God, I was embarrassed. I'm glad I didn't go out and preach it. It doesn't mean my heart was wrong. But everything needs to be examined in the light of the Word. Amen. Can it stand up to the scrutiny? Brother Hagin said that he used to say people would come and say, well, Bible or no Bible, that's the way I believe it. Well, you're just wide open to deception. Just wide open to deception. So that's number one. Number two, how to avoid deception is just simply keep a clear conscience. What do you mean, keep a clear conscience? Because your spirit, because the Holy Ghost dwells in you, he'll tell you when something's not right. He'll let you know. He might not explain everything why it's not right. Now, if you ask him, he will. He'll take you into the Word of God. But he might not explain everything. But right on the other hand, sometimes you just know something's just, I don't know what that is. It's just something's not right. A number of years ago, there was a minister down in Florida. I believe he's based in Florida anyway. He's down there ministering a lot. Somebody else, people got, the body of Christ got all excited about him. Had great signs and wonders. I'm like, who is this guy? And they mentioned him and so forth. One day, this was years ago when we used to watch Christian TV. I turned on Christian TV and there he was. It didn't take me 3 minutes. I said, something ain't right with that guy. Something ain't right with that guy. Something ain't right with that guy. I didn't know what it was. Click.
All right.
The Lord didn't tell me what it was. But it wasn't, I don't think, 3 months. Came out that he was sleeping with a woman. That he was getting people's information at the back door. What'd you come for? Well, I got this hoogamooga in my hip. So he'd call that out as a word of knowledge. All fake. None of it. None of it, God. He got found out to be false. I thought to myself, well, isn't that interesting? That camp over there called them themselves, all the prophets of America, whatever they called them. None of them recognized he was false. Yeah. So that makes all them false prophets. How do people get to that place where they're so deceived? Well, somewhere along the line, didn't keep a clear conscience. When your conscience is not clear, your heart is hardened, and God can't get things over to you. Amen. Third of all, people get over into deception and so forth because they are of wrong influences. They're around wrong influences. I know a man, I went to Bible school with him. Bless his darling heart. He's so full of ambition, so full of pride and wanting to have a big name that he did all the rubbing shoulders with everybody you can imagine. I mean, got all the way on the major Christian TV networks, all the part of all those things. And he looked at me during Brother Hagin's memorial service. I was sitting beside him. And he looked at me kind of, what are you doing for God? And I told him. He just sort of looked down his nose at me and told me all that he was doing. All the people. I know this person. I know this big wig. I'm doing all of this. I thought, I never met anybody so dripping with pride. Where is he today? Fallen. I don't even know. He's off the scene. I don't even know where he went. Are you out there? Well, that's all free. In the last days, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, Revelation 9, 1 through 11, that there'll be more demon spirits going to be released out of the pit. I think some of those must have already started coming out. I said, I think, because I don't know exactly. But boy, I'm telling you what. One of the things they go out to do in the world is to deceive. Bible said over there, whenever the millennium's over, you know, and Satan's released from the pit for a little time. This is not the time I'm talking about, but later, whenever Satan's released from the pit after the millennium, the Bible said that these demons, it says, you can read the story, and it looks like it's a horde of locusts, but you read the whole thing, and Satan's their prince. It's demons. And it says they go out to deceive after the tribulation. I mean, after the, the millennium. That's what I meant to say. I might have said the tribulation. After the millennium. They go out to deceive. So I thought the demons go out to steal, kill, and destroy, Pastor. Well, yeah, but the way they do it is deceive. The devil can't do those things to you unless he's deceived you. Satan only has one tool in his toolbox. That's the only thing he's got. Jesus stripped him of all his power, all his authority over the church. But if he can get wrong doctrines and he can get people deceived, then he's got them. And he can steal, kill, and destroy. He'll make the church powerless. These false doctrines makes the church powerless. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth. Well, when salt loses its savor, it's worth nothing but throw it away. And there's a lot of places going to get thrown away. In fact, it's already happening, I'm finding out. So, people that say things like one false prophet on a program some of you are listening to. They seem to claim to go to heaven about every week. Talking to angels and getting doctrines from angels. No. Nobody's addressing it, so I'm addressing it.
Thank you.
I've been asking my friends, why on earth don't some of these leaders in the body of Christ address some of these things? And none of the answers I've gotten so far are very flattering. So we got to talk about it. Flaming, fire-breathing, but false. Claim to go to heaven about every week. You don't see anybody in the Bible going to heaven every week and getting revelations every week. These things happen once, twice, maybe a few times in their life, but not every week. Are you out there? And talking to angels and getting doctrines from angels. You ever notice all these false religions come out of an angel talking to somebody?
That's true. That's true.
Angels don't bring doctrine.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost teaches doctrine.
Amen.
That doesn't mean angels can't bring messages,
right,
but they're not in the church. They don't. That's not their role to preach doctrine.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said very dangerous.
Yes.
Aren't you glad somebody's finally saying something? The Bible says Satan appears as an angel of light.
Yeah. Yeah.
He makes himself look like an angel from God, but he's an angel. He's really an angel of light.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid now. How am I going to know if it's God or it's not? Well, you got the Word.
Yeah.
Any message an angel brings will be in line with the Word, or it'll bear witness with your spirit.
Amen.
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 Amen. So, deception is the only thing Satan has. Jesus defeated him,
yeah,
but you've got to avoid deception,
yes,
or else he'll take advantage of you.
Yes.
So Matthew 24 here says, they'll come in my name. You notice many of these people, they're always talking about God and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They come in my name, Jesus said.
Yes.
So one characteristic about the anatomy of deception, which the Bible is full of warnings about concerning the last days.
Yeah.
We're in that day.
Yeah.
One of the characteristics of it is it has some truth in it.
Yeah.
Or else nobody would swallow it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to kill a rat, you get rat poison out and you put it out there. And if you study, look at the ingredients on the back of that rat poison, about 99% of it's real food. It's just that 1%.
Yes.
Just that 1%.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The reason deception works is because it has some truth in it.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Some truth, but it's not the truth.
Right.
Amen. Satan, and one of his greatest characteristics is he's crafty.
Yes.
You know, 2 Corinthians 11:3 talks about in his craftiness he deceived Eve. Paul said, I fear lest your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Like he deceived Eve through his subtlety, the King James says. That means craftiness.
Yes. Yes.
That's one characteristic of the enemy.
Right.
Anyway. You got to know your enemy's strategy is you're going to keep him out.
Yes.
Yes.
So, let's go over to 1 Timothy 4:1-2.
Yes, sir.
1 Timothy 4:1-2. The Spirit speaks expressly. We read this. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Say it out loud again. Some.
Some.
You don't want to hear what I'm hearing, what I'm saying this morning, and think I'm talking about everybody. That's not true at all. Not by a long shot. But some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to these seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies. So, to depart from the faith means they're led astray from real Bible faith.
Yep.
Yes.
That tells you what deception has targeted. Faith.
Yes. Yes.
Faith.
Absolutely.
There is a true message of grace in the Bible that is valid, sound, and tremendously a blessing if you get a revelation of it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But today is being preached extracurricular grace.
Come on.
And the Bible warns against that, and Jude says, don't turn the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Yeah.
What lascivious means is just live free, do anything you want.
Right.
Yep.
And preachers are drinking.
No.
I mean,
wow.
we were on vacation last week, and we had just talked about some of these things. We went out to eat, get something to eat, and the restaurant owner, I didn't know he was the owner right away, but he found out he was the owner, came over, and he was the one serving us our table. And I kind of saw him like he was the boss or something. I said, are you the owner? He said, yeah. And so he found out we were ministers there, just sort of enjoying some good fellowship and stuff. And he said, oh, you need to come. Are you in town Sunday? You need to come to my church. I'm so proud of my pastor. He drinks.
What?
It's like they wear it on their badge like a badge of honor now.
Wow.
Yeah, we're free. We drink. Well, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, whereas be filled continually with the Spirit. People that drink because they're not filled.
Right.
That's right.
And everything's loose now. Everything's loose now.
Yeah.
Just live in the flesh.
No.
I'll tell you something. One thing will lead to the other.
Yes.
It'll go from that. It'll go from that to free, immoral sex life.
Thank you. It always does.
And there have been pastors who have been fallen left and right.
Right.
Immorality.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of these big churches.
Yes.
I'm not against big churches.
Correct.
God wants to reach many, many people. So don't take me wrong.
Yeah.
But not through compromise.
That's right.
Amen. Some of the major churches in America that have been the biggest and the biggest loudest. The whole leadership team is being wiped off the scene because they're all into sin. Everybody's finding out about it.
See,
don't get mad at me because I'm telling you the truth. I wouldn't be sitting in churches like that.
No.
You should know by the Holy Ghost something ain't right.
That's right.
Thank you.
Speaking lies. Here in 1 Timothy, speaking lies, led astray. Led astray from faith. So, I saw firsthand a minister where we used to live, city we used to live in. He was, my goodness, God was using that man. I mean, he'd rent the convention center of our city where I used to live and fill that place out. I mean, I think it seemed 10,000 or so, 10 or so thousand. He'd pack that place out. They were running over. I mean, they couldn't get the people in there. Moves of God, mighty, mighty things happening. We were rejoicing in it. but anyway, he was just troubled about some things, about whether his father went to heaven or not. And he was really, the devil started working on him about it. And one day he's listening to a television program, and I won't go into all the details, but basically a voice spoke to him. And said, he said he was looking at the program talking about some people going through a lot of tests and trials. And he was so afraid his father might have gone to hell. And he just didn't want to believe that his father went to hell because he never had received Christ and so forth. But anyway, he's watching this and he's seeing all these certain groups of people in different societies going through all sorts of tribulation, all sorts of stress, all sorts of hardship. And a voice came to him, said, see, they're already in hell. Voice spoke to him. Well, you got to try those things. And the thing that he believed out of that was he believed it was God telling him, no, your daddy didn't go to hell. All the hell he experiences in this life right now, there is no hell. He swallowed that thing. I was absolutely shocked. He swallowed that thing hook, line, and sinker.
Wow.
His spiritual father tried to help him, tried to get him back on track, tried to say, you know, no, that's against the word of God. Jesus himself said Lazarus and the rich man, you know, and mentioned the rich man in hell after he was after he died.
That's right.
And that's just one verse out of probably 500. Amen. But see, the people, they try to make the scriptures say what they want them to say rather than just accept it for what it actually says. That opens you to deception. He just didn't want to believe there was a hell. Didn't want to believe his daddy went to hell. Well, none of us want to believe they did, but they might have. It's up between them and God whether they receive Christ or not. But here's my point. That man swallowed that hook, line, sinker, and he started going out and preaching that, and he had these huge meetings, and his meetings dwindled down to just to hardly anybody coming. Ended up, I could get into more detail, but ended up really off doctrinally because he wouldn't listen to his spiritual father who tried to get him back on track. Amen. The Bible mentions a great deception in the last days. And so we're in that time right now, and there's more and more wrong voices in the world getting people, try to get them to depart from the faith. You understand? Many are trying, are speaking by another spirit even today, not the Holy Ghost. Many false prophets are going out into the world, the Bible says. Jesus said, see to it that you're not caught up in this stuff. You're responsible for that, not just your pastor. There's a responsibility we have, but we're all responsible to see to it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. There's just some people in la-la land doctrinally right now. I don't even know where they come up with it. Like, for example, a man, I used to be in fellowship with him and so forth, but he is getting so off. And he now believes that we're already in the millennium. Jesus, you know, talked about the millennial reign, or Book of Revelation, and so forth, many places. Millennial reign, and it talks about the tribulation before the millennial reign, and so forth and so on. And he said, no, that's all already, the tribulation already happened. We're in the millennial reign right now. It's the church age. I thought, poor God, doesn't know how to count. A millennium's 1,000 years.
Yeah.
I think it's been more than 1,000 years since Jesus came. We better help God count, huh? Can you instruct him? You're a math instructor.
I don't know if I had that power.
We're in the millennial reign right now. Well, when was the tribulation? Well, they say that's back there whenever, the Roman Emperor Titus came and besieged Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, 70 A.D. That happened. That was the Great Tribulation. Now we're in the millennial reign. I thought, well, I read in the Bible that there's going to be a rapture before that. When did that happen? When was the rapture? When did Jesus come back? When did you hear the trumpet blow? I haven't seen any lions laying down with the lamb. I haven't seen anybody that's barely. I mean, the Bible said a man will die. The people say if he dies at 100 years old, they'll say, poor child. That's the millennial reign. Well, how's come we got all these demon manifestations everywhere? Because in the millennial reign, he's in the bottomless pit.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
How can you be? You need help being like that. You need help believing things like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, praise the Lord. Why are you bringing all this up? It's getting pretty close to home.
Yeah.
Getting pretty close to home. See to it that you're not caught up with it.
Right.
Or cut up with it. People are listening to wrong voices. There are doctrines that come from the Word of God. There are doctrines of devils. And some of these things are to unstabilize people's faith.
Right.
You think, well, that doesn't have anything to do with us. Oh, yeah. Yeah, these people have been around here. Amen. So, everybody still glad you came?
Yes.
Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If that's true, what will the lies do? It'll bind you up. Lies blind, and lies bind. The truth makes you free. Amen. Bible said, you receive a prophet in the name of prophet, you have a prophet's reward. Well, that's a true prophet. What if you receive a false prophet? Well, that's going to have something attached to it, too. I remember a number of years ago, praise God, I'm just going to say it.
Come on now. Come on.
Some people didn't know quite sure what I was talking about, but I don't know, this is way back. Maybe some of you weren't here, but I got up one morning, the Lord said, you say it. I said, I don't want to. He said, you say it. Sometimes the Lord asks you to say some things. And so I got up and I mentioned the name of a man. So, oh, you shouldn't call names. Well, then poor Paul, he was wrong about 3 or 4 different times. No, actually about 5 or 6 different times. Called out people that were false. And so the Lord said, call him out. Tell everybody he's a false person. Some must have been somebody listening to him. Because I'm not responsible for... I don't have a voice into the whole body of Christ, but I have a voice into this church.
Yes.
So it must have been, I just assume somebody's listening to him. Must have been all enamored with him. He'd get dancing girls on the platform and he'd get under some spell and start prophesying. He'd tell you who was going to win the World Series. Things like that. You know, God's really not involved in prophesying who's going to win the World Series. This movie star is going to come out with this movie and so forth and so on. Some of them was asinine. See, that's all things of this world. God's not talking to you that much about things of this world. So the Lord said, you call him out. You tell this congregation, name his name. Tell the congregation he's a false prophet.
Yeah.
And tell the congregation that he's going to come under judgment.
Yes.
And he did.
Yeah.
Amen. He had a stroke and couldn't talk. Then he died. No, God didn't do that to him. That's the devil had access to him. Because just like a pastor has to protect a local flock from wrong influences getting in, Jesus, the chief shepherd, the head of the church, will have to sometimes deal with people who are corrupting the church with false doctrine.
That's right.
Well, I don't believe that. Well, then look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Woo, Pastor Jay's on a roll today. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians. I think I'm right about that. Where am I at here? Bible says so. I don't have the reference. Just go over there. I think I'm right. About the reference, I mean. 1 Corinthians. Let's see if it's 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, chapter number 3. Let's look here. Let me get out of the Amplified here. You're not nervous, are you?
No.
Look what it says here.
Verse 18, maybe?
Let's back up to verse 16.
Okay, there you go.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? He's talking to the whole church.
Yes. Now,
individually, of course, we are the temple of God. We understand that. Yes. He dwells in all of us individually. Yes. But if you look at the Amplified, it says the whole church at Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
Individually and collectively.
Yes.
That you are the temple of God. When we come together, we form a spiritual house.
Right.
The Bible said you are lively, build up lively stones as a spiritual house. So we are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. What does it mean, defile? Well, one way you could defile the house of God would be through wrong doctrines.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
And he said there, God will deal with that.
Yes.
Doesn't mean they'll go to hell. Doesn't mean that at all.
Oh, yeah.
But it just simply means God will remove their influence and their voice into the body of Christ.
Yes.
Right. Well, I don't know if that's love. I'm going to go to a church where they preach love. This is love for the hungry people of God.
Yes.
That's love for the people of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
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 This is love for the people of God.
Yes.
So praise God. Are you still glad you came this morning?
Yes.
Now, there are many voices, the Bible says, in the world. The Bible says we're to rightly divide. Study to show yourself proof of God. A workman needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes. Yes.
Say that out loud. Rightly dividing,
rightly dividing
the word of truth.
The word of truth.
Why would you say you have to rightly divide it if you couldn't wrongly divide it?
Yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's good.
Huh? So you must be able to wrongly divide it and, of course, come up with error.
Right.
Yes.
I could give you, I could share scriptures with you that proves that you're supposed to make me ribs before lunch and send them home for me for lunch. Amen.
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 But it wouldn't be balanced doctrine.
That's right.
I could prove to you that you're supposed to commit suicide from the Bible.
Yeah.
Bible said Judas went out and hanged himself. It also said, go and do thou likewise.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 wait a minute. No, yeah, right, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Those are both verses.
Yeah.
So you could rightly divide that, or you could wrongly divide that.
Yeah.
I just wrongly divided it, all right? Just in case you're wondering, I wrongly divided that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Just say, I'm glad I came to church this morning.
I'm glad I came to church this morning.
So we're to judge these things. Don't misunderstand me. You judge the doctrine,
yeah,
not the person always.
Yeah, right.
Even these manifestations that are wrong sometimes. Some people, some young ministers I know, I've seen this, they just are imitating or doing what they see others do.
Right.
And they assume that others are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Like some people, they stand in maybe an office where they have revelation gifts, so they always want to prophesy to everybody in the congregation. Well, you don't see that in the Bible.
Right.
That doesn't mean you can't sometimes, anointing come on you. But that, see, that's not the main use of that gift. So others are just imitating things that they see others do. Doesn't mean they're wrong in their heart, they're maybe just wrong in their head. I've been wrong in my head before, but my heart was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God for his mercy on those kinds of things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Did I tell your neighbor, I need mercy?
I need mercy.
That's the reason we don't always judge the person themselves.
That's right.
God knows their heart. And so we can, though, judge their doctrine.
Yeah.
And we can judge maybe manifestations. You know, if something... I guess I can go there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if the last 17 prophecies haven't come to pass.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not everyone that's wrong is a heretic.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah. That's good.
It's not always necessary to reject somebody's entire ministry.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they're a little bit in error. I guess all of us might be in a little bit of error. My mind's not totally renewed yet. I'm still saying, yeah, I see that, Lord. Okay, all right. I see that. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. I'm getting it right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yep.
I maybe can mention one or two ministers that I agree with totally 100%. Now, that doesn't make them wrong and me right.
That's right.
Maybe they have their mind more renewed than I have. You understand what I'm talking about? But, you know, that doesn't make them wrong-hearted either. Maybe they just don't understand, or maybe I just don't understand. We ought to be teachable. Paul received a revelation of Jesus. Jesus appeared to him a number of times, appeared to him, talked to him. But he took that, what Jesus taught him, and took it up to the apostles at Jerusalem. If you go over there, and what is it, Galatians? And he took it up there to make sure that he's hearing right.
He sure did.
He sure did.
Yes.
Submitted it. See, ministers ought to be able to submit what themselves to one another.
Yes.
I told my friends, we had some stem-winding conversations in Colorado. And I told him, I said, this is what Brother Hagin used to do with ministers that were sound in his day. He'd sit and they'd have a meeting and then he'd preach. And then they'd go back to the house and eat sandwich and milk. And they'd discuss the scriptures for hours.
Yes.
And they'd take one side. He said, now you take the other side. You argue as if you believe that side. And I'm going to take the word and I'm going to try to prove you wrong. You take the word and try to prove me wrong. Not argue for arguing's sake, but just I'm trying to prove from the word that I'm right. You're trying to prove that the other side of the... And they would see, it would bring them to the place, challenge them to get into the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that's what we are doing this week.
Praise God.
I'd say, yeah, but. And they'd say, yeah, but. And I said, yeah, no, you're right. I said, yeah, but. That'll keep you sound.
Yeah.
Poke your neighbor and say, soundness is what you need to seek. Keep you sound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, some things, not everything, somebody's wrong in. You know, you've heard us say, eat the hay and spit out the sticks.
Yes, sir.
You can say it another way, eat the fish and spit out the bones. Whatever you want to do. Just make sure and don't swallow everything that everybody says, just because that's a big name preacher and he said it. Well, that doesn't mean make them right. Big name doesn't equal sound. Amen. You got to, some things, it depends on how severe some things are. You might not always be able to follow somebody's doctrine, but you might be able to follow their faith. Years ago, there was a minister. If you ever want to get this book, it's called John Alexander Dowie. There might be a subheading, I don't remember. But Gordon Lindsay put out the book. I think it's still in print. I hope it's still in print. Wonderful book about a man of God God used mightily. Back before the days of, back before the Pentecostal revival, really, used him mightily in the area of divine healing. Some of his family was dying, and some of the other ones kept getting sick and so forth. And he just sought God, and God showed him Acts 2:4. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness is satanic, demonic work. Not always a personal present, demon present there, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The curse. He got a hold of that and started praying for the sick, and God anointed him, and he was used mightily, John Alexander Dowie. And so anyway, but at the end of his life, he changed. That's what God called him to do. It's called God anointed him to do. At the end of his life, he switched that influence that he had and started using it to fight things politically.
Jeez.
That day, the big thing in that day was prohibition. And so he jumped on that bandwagon. And he started fighting things. Rather than continue with the ministry God had given him, he started fighting things. Just a little church history here this morning. And he started getting off because of that, and started getting off doctrinally until he thought he was Elijah. And he got really squirrely at the end. See, God had mightily used him, but he got off. Brother Hagin made us read that book. That was one of the books at Rhema. He said, you students, you need to read that book once a year, so you can see how somebody that God mightily uses can get off.
Amen.
I think some people forgot that. God doesn't anoint you to fight political battles. He anoints you to preach the gospel. There are people that are anointed to fight political battles.
That's right.
That doesn't mean that fivefold ministry offices is going to stand in one of those places.
That's right.
Amen. See, then Brother Hagin said about doubt. He said you could follow his faith, but you couldn't follow his doctrine.
Yeah.
I mean, he one time said, in the name of Jesus, a big old growth on the side of a lady's face, in the name of Jesus, and just took that thing and peeled it right off.
Yeah.
Fresh baby skin there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
My God.
Yeah.
You can follow that in faith, but you can't follow his doctrine.
Right.
And he eventually lost that anointing.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
And people like that, you can't follow them very close or you're going to get off.
Right.
Especially baby Christians.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad I came this morning. Now, Apollos was a man. How many of you knew New Testament? Apollos was a man greatly used of God. He was, Paul, remember Paul and Barnabas and then Apollos and so forth. All these men greatly used of God. But if you look at the beginning of his life, or his mention in the scriptures, I should say, Acts 18, 24 through 26. If you want to write that down, we won't take time to go there. Whenever he came on the scene was whenever Priscilla and Aquila met him. I forget which city it mentions there. Acts 18, 24 through 26. And they found this man powerfully preaching John the Baptist's message, but he hadn't heard Jesus had come.
Right.
He ran off before Jesus came, started preaching what John was preaching. Hadn't got back to town, found out Jesus had come.
Right.
You know, news didn't travel like in that day like it does today. So he's out there preaching boldly the baptism of John.
Yeah.
The one's coming, he's coming. Priscilla and Aquila found him and filled in the blanks.
Right, right.
Like Paul Harvey, he told them the rest of the story. Page 3.
Yes.
You know. I grew up listening to Paul Harvey at lunchtime. see, he's preaching, but he's preaching all he knows. And he's doing, he's partially right, but he didn't know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
So Priscilla and Aquila found him, and they expounded unto him the scriptures and told him about Jesus coming. And there are people like that today.
Yes, there are.
They're wrong, but only because, not because their heart's wrong.
Yeah. Right.
And Paulus received the message of Christ, and the Bible says he mightily confounded the people who were opposing him from the scriptures, showing that Jesus was the Christ.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So some people are like that today.
Yes.
So, hallelujah. Now, are you glad you came?
Yes.
My, we're out of time. Let me just say this. Spiritual fathers, like we already said, all of us have the responsibility of not being deceived. We all have the responsibility of guarding against wrong doctrines. But yet, right on the other hand, ministers, if we're all to, and ministers have a voice into people's lives, they especially ought to be sound doctrinally and make sure they're not being deceived. I mean, constantly washing their thinking in the scriptures, making sure they're right. And on top of that, ministers who are given places in the body of Christ where they start ministering to other ministers. That is even more responsibility. You know what I'm talking about? We all have a responsibility. Ministers in general probably have more responsibility. Bible says in First James chapter number 3, I think it's verse 1 and 2, that teachers are going to be judged by a higher standard. Well, then we ought to have a higher standard. We ought to, if the body of Christ knows this much about the things of God, ministers ought to know a whole lot more.
Amen.
Because it's serious to mislead people doctrinally. It's a serious offense. But spiritual fathers especially have a place. And I say spiritual father, I'm talking about ministers who speak into the other ministers' lives. That's what I mean, but I'm talking about a spiritual father. In some sense, a pastor could be that, but you understand how we're using those different terms. And so, that being the case, those who are, I don't know how to say it, maybe this is a carnal way to say it, but they're top of the pinnacle. I don't mean to sound carnal when I say that, but you know what I mean. They're the ones speaking into more people's lives than anybody else. Those especially have responsibility in this area. And that's what I was asking my friends. I said, why don't some of these people address some of these things? Paul was a spiritual father, and he addressed these things over and over and over again. You read the scriptures in the light of what I'm talking to you about this morning. You'll find, I don't know if it's every chapter, but regularly, Paul's addressing things, correcting them. So don't be deceived by this. Don't be deceived by that.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we ought not to spurn that or despise that.
Right.
Amen. It's our safety.
Yes.
And so a lot of times young believers are like young natural children. They think anything new is hip.
Right.
Mom and daddy are old fogies. They don't know anything. We're the next generation. We're hip. We have new this and new that, and everything's new and hip. And yeah, that previous generation, we just throw them away. That is so unscriptural. You understand? How many of you thought your parents were old fogies for a while? I don't know. Do you ever use that term, old fogey?
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, we call old people old fogies. That just means old, dusty people. They don't know what we know. We're the next generation, you know. We, woohoo!
Yeah.
But we don't have near the experience. Near the time with God some of these people have had. And don't know God near like they know him. So these things, new things come along. Winds of doctrine come through the body of Christ. And they start saying, we saw that back in the 50s. That blew through back in the 50s. And it was all over and destroyed a bunch of people. And then we got back on track. Oh, but this generation. Woo! Yeah, it's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Y'all out there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the spiritual father started addressing things. They're just old fogies.
No,
well, be that way then. So, I'm calling for ministers to address these things. What are you talking about? Okay, I'll tell you. Wakey, wakey.
Yes.
Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Go to a place where there used to be revival and say to the angels that were involved in that, wake up, angels, wake up, angels. That's ignorance gone to seed. Go and land on people's graves that God used in the past and trying to soak up that anointing. I know, we laugh. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's called grave sucking. That's the humorous term somebody gave to it. Going to suck that anointing out of that grave. Well, I don't even know that anointing's in that grave.
I know, right?
I'm not quitting until I'm done.
No, come on. Come on.
I don't even know that anointing's in that grave. Well, so-and-so is greatly used of God. Sure, we honor how God used them. And we go, maybe it's nothing wrong going to their grave and just remembering how God used them. We're not worshiping them. We're not trying to get anything out of the grave.
Oh, my mercy.
It's proper to honor people. You understand? But is that anointing in that? Well, Pastor, it is, because you know that prophet Elisha. He died and they threw a man's body in there. He died. Another man died. They threw him in there. And that anointing was in his bones and raised him from the dead. Do you know that was actually an accident? They didn't even know it was going to happen. They were burying him, and a band of enemy soldiers came along, and they said, we better get out of here. Let's just throw him in there and run. They didn't do that in faith. They didn't do that based on instructions from the Holy Ghost. Well. Say amen. We're going to draw out that anointing and bring revival. Well, I don't know that anointing's in there. Well, it was in Elisha. It was in Elisha's bones. Well, what scriptures do you have to say it's always in there?
Come on.
Well, it must be. It worked that time. Well, let me just give you another example. Remember, the Bible said about Elijah, when he went to heaven, his mantle fell to the earth.
Yes, that's right.
Of course, he didn't go in the grave.
No.
But his mantle fell.
Come on.
Break it down.
You couldn't have gone to his grave. He's not in the grave, but you couldn't have gone to his grave and got it. It was on that cloth. It was transferred to Elisha. Well, praise the Lord. So if it was in that cloth, it wasn't in that grave. Of course, he wasn't in the grave. You understand? Praise God. So, hallelujah. The Bible records that man raised from the dead. But they didn't do that on purpose in faith.
Right.
And we have no scriptures to do that. And we have no we don't see the people of God practicing that anywhere. That was an accident. They didn't even know it was going to happen. They just threw him in there real quick because they had to run. Go read it. Are we going to establish a doctrine based on something that happened that even was God? Whoa, Pastor, you're getting on thin ground. Okay, let me tell you another story.
Come on!
What about Jesus spitting, making mud, and putting it in a man's eyes? Say, go wash in the pool of Siloam. It was God. The Holy Ghost anointed it. The man came out seeing. Or came seeing, right? Are we going to start a doctrine on that? That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Every person that comes, go out there and get some mud. Tell the ushers, go get some mud. It was something that happened, but we don't base a doctrine on it. We don't tell people, now you go do that and that'll work. If the Holy Ghost says it, fine. Just got to lay things out. People need to understand it. You can't base a doctrine on everything that happened in the realm of the supernatural. Hallelujah. I can give you some of, well, we can go to these graves and suck the anointing out. I can give you scriptures that say it's not in there. Do you have any scriptures that says it's in there?
No.
Wasn't in Elijah's grave.
No.
Huh? It was in his mantle.
Yeah.
So where are we going to find it? Let me tell you something. Anytime, see, those are all relics. Do we believe in relics? Some of you are looking at me real strange. No, we don't believe in relics. Whew. Okay, Lord, we're going to have to take some more time on that one. Relics are a splinter of the cross, the shrine of, what is that, that cloth that was over Jesus. Yeah, all these things. People want to go to that and make contact with it to contact God. Anytime you do that, a demon spirit will inhabit it so that he can get your worship. That's scriptural. They that worship idols worship devils. You try to contact God through the natural realm, and the devil's going to get involved with that. We worship God in the spirit. Not through something in the natural. We don't go to a statue to pray. Yeah, but it's supernatural blood coming out of it. Demons. 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 Demons.
Yeah.
Demons.
Thank you.
Demons. Say it. Demons.
Demons.
Not everything supernatural is of God.
Thank you.
Woo-wee. Pastor, you need to go on vacation more often. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes there are certain ones that just seem to sort of have a bend toward error. They have an inclination toward it. A little like a car that's out of alignment. You ever had a car out of alignment? You let go of the steering wheel. Woo, we could go over in the ditch. Some ministers are like that. Some Christians are like that. They got to stay close to somebody more sound or they get off. Woo! And that's what's been happening. What people don't know, some of these people have been, years ago, more seasoned ministers would keep on bringing them back. Now, call them up, call them to a meeting, call them to a summit, talk to them. Hey, watch out for this, you're getting off. Some of them listened, some of them didn't listen. It's dangerous. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came to church this morning. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So guard your heart. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to guard my heart. Some of these say, well, Pastor, this stuff never comes around here or anything. That's because we're strong to keep it out. Paul said, after my departure, these things will come in. Paul's influence kept all this stuff out. We need those voices today. We need those voices today. Not somebody who just makes it their ministry that's all they do is correct error. We're not just negative. We have positive things to say. How many of you know our great balance of what you hear at Spirit of Faith Family Church is something positive to build you and to edify you? We don't take every service and do this. This person's wrong. That person's wrong. Well, maybe we're wrong. Maybe we got to look at ourselves maybe a little bit. Amen. It takes humility to acknowledge that you just want to always stay meek and teachable. That's a big key. Big key. Group of ministers a while back. Well, I'll say it in general terms. They wanted to get back in fellowship with major denomination that really was way off. Way off. Amen. Sometimes people's desire for unity makes them compromise other scriptures. Look here. Look at your standing. I won't go much longer. Look at Romans 16, verse number 17. And this is just one verse of many. I don't have the time. I'm out of time. Look at Romans 16, verse number 17. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses. Now here's what he's talking about. Contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Let's be in unity together. I actually heard one of these ministers, he's way off. I actually heard him say, now these other groups, they pray to these relics and everything. We don't want to separate from them. Well, this verse says do it. Yeah. Well, we're supposed to be for unity, Pastor, not unity around lies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Avoid them. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Yes. By good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Yes.
And that's just one. I could go to the other. That's one of the... I'm praying about this because my heart's been calling out for some answers. Why don't some of these people address some of these things? And I didn't mention all of them. There's so many more. And the thing that the Lord has been prompting me is because they're trying to... They're trying to stay in unity with everybody. There's a unity of the Spirit, but you can't agree with everybody's doctrine.
That's right.
You can't do it.
You can't.
So they compromise in order to, you know. Amen. As much as we can be in unity, we're in unity with everybody. Any Bible believing, praise God, any Bible believing preacher, teacher, church, or whatever. But we can't accept things that are actually open the door to the occult. These things that people are getting into with angels. I believe Dr. Jacob is going to be here and talk to us about angels. But I wouldn't have him in here if he wasn't sound. There's a true valid ministry of angels. But the people getting weird talking. You know, this angel came and gave me this message and told me this doctrine and so forth. And that's where false religions come from. And a lot of this is the occult. People don't recognize the difference. You just think it was in Africa and everywhere else. But, yep, sewing up right here, right now.
Yes.
Thank God.